This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to a new day, a new week here at the Damage Report. I'm John DeRola, joined, as always on Tuesdays, by the one, the only, Nina Turner. Nina, how's it going?
It's going all right, John. Snowed in here in Ohio, finally.
Are you?
It was something, baby. I mean, snow up to my knees.
No.
Yeah.
I miss one day of snow. I miss that. I would like to experience that in LA. One day of snow. I grew up in Connecticut, so snow is fun in the beginning, A few months into it, you're kind of sick of it at that point. But I do miss snow. I lived in Texas and then here, I just don't experience it. Yeah, it's just nice to have that.
It's refreshing. But, I mean, like you said, not to have to navigate it every single day.
Yeah,
it's just something that's calming. I think it sterilizes, you know, the cold kind of makes everything new again. Winter reminds me of spring, like it's the opposite of spring, you know, the opposite end of the spring.
You want to have both. Although I do remember the last time I visited Connecticut, it was in a winter storm and I got out of my car to fill up the tank. And by the time I got back in, my hands were like red claws in agony. So I don't miss that part.
Frostbite is real. And John, while we're just on this point, I just want to thank all of the workers. You and I were talking about garbage sanitation workers before we came on air. And I just want to thank all of the workers who have to brave the cold, you know, from the sanitation workers to postal workers, all of those kind of construction jobs. People who we just ignore because we're just accustomed to the garbage being picked up, the snow being removed. Thank you. And then also for the people who have to try to get to work in storms, to open up grocery stores, drug stores, you know, all of those essential workers. Thank you so very much.
No, I'm very glad that you pointed that out. And, you know, on the topic of workers and also refreshment, like with the summer, with the winter, we were just talking before the show about we're coming off of a 3-day weekend because of the holiday. And we've actually had a couple, at least here at TYT, obviously your experience may vary across America because there are a lot of employers who don't give a damn. But we should have them. Like how many centuries do people have to toil? It's not the only thing that workers need. It's arguably not the most important thing, you know, pay, basic human dignity and the benefits they need. Those are important too, but it's just like we are fighting so many battles and getting so little support from anyone with any real power. But anyway, we've got a lot to talk about through the course of the next 90 minutes. Thank you all for joining us. We are going to be speaking about some of those wanting to reflect on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, who perhaps are not on the strongest ground to be doing that. We've got really scary news for the Democrats going into the midterm elections. These are not the numbers you'd want to see. So we're going to take a look at that. But we've got lawsuits against Amazon, priests spitting in people's faces. We've got all sorts of stuff that we're going to be talking about. So don't go anywhere unless you want to take a brief little trip over to the like button, maybe share the stream on Twitter or something, wherever you do that. And with that, we will launch into things. Nina, you ready to talk about some news?
Black Pearl Dragon is ready, baby.
Nice. I love it. We've got to get, at one point, there's an awesome artist. We do need a t-shirt.
I'm calling out to the view. Somebody go ahead and design that Black Pearl Dragon.
Yeah, Minnie Morfo had done this awesome series of dragons. She did a few, JR and Jeff Waldorf. We gotta get her to do Black Pearl Dragon.
Please.
But with that, let's jump into this.
all the elected leaders out there who are tweeting, posting, and celebrating my grandfather, Dr. King. Today, my message to you is simple. Do not celebrate. Legislate. The Senate must do the right thing when this legislation comes to a vote tomorrow. Senator Sinema, Senator Manchin, our future hinges on your decision, and history will remember what choice you make.
That video you just saw was the granddaughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Yolanda Renee King, pointing out one of the brands of fake odes to Martin Luther King Jr. That happen every year on the holiday. There's a few different varieties, and we're gonna give them to you. But one is politicians who have no place to be invoking his name, his words, his image, choosing to do so while pretending that they don't have the power to do anything to advance his mission, his cause, his values. So right there you saw Yolanda specifically calling out Manchin and Sinema, thereby showing a degree of courage that Joe Biden just can't seem to muster. And perhaps jumping out ahead of tweets like this from Kyrsten Sinema yesterday, today we remember the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Hashtag MLK Day. Now, Nina, if you had to guess, what do you think the doctor would have had to say about a moderate senator like Kyrsten Sinema?
Well, he already told us how he felt about moderate whites, that they were in many cases, you know, he said, I'm paraphrasing, but I understand where the Ku Klux Klaner is coming from was his basic premise. You, moderate white, I do not. You are wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, again, I'm paraphrasing Dr. King, but we can go ahead and just get his exact quote on that. So he's already made the statement about moderate whites. And shout out to Yolanda Renee King, baby, for naming names and setting it straight. Don't you even. And really the entire King family, I mean, Reverend Bernice King was handling her business yesterday as well, laying it out, basically saying the same thing that her niece was saying. It really is time out. These people have no, they have no shame, John, really, because if they did, they would not even fix a tweet, their mouths, nothing on their beings, to quote the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., when they are not willing to hold on to the mission of the man. Because see, his words and mission went together, and they're standing in the way of his global humanitarian mission.
Yeah, and he was so like she knows, man, she knows. Like, how are you gonna pretend like you just less than a week ago said, oh yeah, no, I love voting rights bills. I think they're great, but I like the filibuster so much more. And I think that that tradition is just way more valuable. Like he has, it's not like she is just holding a position that he sort of generally or in some vague sense was against. She very specifically is doing the exact thing that he has been directly quoted about. And, you know, I kind of like devil's advocate want to like assume that she doesn't know that, but I keep getting told by everyone that she's a genius. So she must know about these quotes. She must know what she's doing. So it's either stupidly shallow or she is once again spitting in our face, but this time invoking the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. as she spits in our face. That's what it feels like, because she knows what she's doing.
No, she does. And when you spit in somebody's face, anyway. Don't get me started. You really got me started on this. She knows exactly what she's doing. So it's from the letter from the Birmingham jail. Please indulge me for 1 minute, John, because I'm sick of these people. You know, I really am. And it's not just Sinema and Manchin. Let Sister Turner just put that out. It's a whole bunch of people hiding behind them. They are the manifestation of the worst of the worst. But there's a whole bunch of people on the Democratic side, too, who, I mean, well, they are Democrats. Lord have mercy. I almost forgot those two were Democrats, John. But there are a whole bunch of people who are just like them, both Democrats and Republicans. But Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., April 16, 1963, in his letter from the Birmingham jail, first, and I'm quoting him directly, I must confess that over the last few years, I have been gravely disappointed with the white moderate. I have almost reached the regrettable conclusion that the Negro's great stumbling block in the stride towards freedom is not the white citizens counselor or the Ku Klux Klaner, but the white moderate who is more devoted to order than to justice, who prefers a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. And I can go on, I'm gonna just stop right there. Dr. King laid that out, he yep. did. And so that is for all, not just these two who have enormous power. Hell, they stopping the end of the, just to carve out this little rule to put the filibuster to the side just to deal with voting rights. Let's know, John, we should go for the whole thing and just do away with the filibuster as a rule in the United States Senate altogether. We can't even get these two and some others who hide behind them to do the right thing for voting rights. So yes, heed what young Yolanda Renee King said. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Don't quote legislate.
Yep. And doing it for the exact reason that he laid out in that quote. Like, yeah, she loves to cosplay that she's progressive or trendy or what. No, she wants things to be stable. She and the people that back her financially are doing very well economically. They want to continue that.
That's right. And
the filibuster helps to protect those things. She fundamentally does love the filibuster as much as she says, although not for the reasons that she says. She wants to be able to stop anything financially that would be a risk to her and her class. That's what it is. She doesn't want the reconciliation bill. She doesn't want any of that. And so she likes to do her little tweets or whatever. But she's honestly like, yeah, faker than some. Like we could bring up like Kevin McCarthy from the right. halls of Ebenezer Baptist Church to the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. MLK spent his life spreading what he called the gospel of freedom. He never gave up and he never preached hate. His words and examples inspire us today as we celebrate a great American on MLK Day. And if we know one thing, Nina, it's that Kevin McCarthy loves leaders who do not preach hate. He would never follow a leader who is hateful or vindictive or xenophobic or racist or misogynist or homophobic or any of those sorts of things.
Never. So he would never do fake. It. No, yeah. They are fake. And I'm glad they're being called out for it this time, John. I think this MLK Day, different than others in the past, that people are standing up in like in a communal fashion, calling these people out to have the King family lay out what is going to be acceptable this year going into the celebration of their father and their grandfather. They let it be known. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Senate, and the Senate is supposed to vote today. Is that right, John?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Let's call the roll.
Yolanda addressed that. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's call the roll.
And look, if it comes to Kevin McCarthy, he will vote it down again as he has in the past. He does not support the John Lewis Voting Act, let alone any other voting acts. Back in 2020, when mail-in voting was expanded, you know, because of the pandemic, he called it disgusting. Yes, he is for the gospel of freedom, Kevin McCarthy, except that he's not. So that's
Limited gospel freedom, John. Let's just go.
Freedom for certain people in certain ways. Right. He never gave up and he never preached hate. So there's a couple different like genres of co-opting his message and stuff. But one is he was always just peaceful. He was nothing radical. Don't do anything crazy. Just like you could have like a good value, but like be quiet about it. It's like trying to pretend that he's exactly the sort of movement person or protester that they want when they would have been viciously opposed to him then.
John, I want to recommend, this is it, The Radical King.
There you go. Yeah.
By Dr. Cornel West, baby. This is it, edited and introduces Dr. King. You're absolutely right. When Dr. King was alive, his approval rating or disapproval rating, 77% of whites disapproved of him and 55% of blacks. And that really came barreling on him and Mrs. Coretta Scott King, when he stood up against the Vietnam War, when he called out this nation for militarism, poverty, and racism. They're like, oh no, Dr. King, now you done went too far now. Just stay on over here in the civil rights lane. Don't touch that kind of stuff. So spare me, if Dr. King was alive, these very people, and again, let me emphasize bold exclamation point that is not just Manchinima, or cinema, whatever the hell we calling them these days, cinema. It is a whole bunch of folks who have power right now, and they are not using that power to stand up for what is in the best interest of the people. And it's not just voting rights. People can't afford their groceries, John. They can't afford gas. They can't take time off. You and I were talking about that. People sick. You got the CDC telling folks to just go in. You got employers exploiting this situation by driving up prices, making extraordinary profits on the back of folks. See, making profits ain't the problem, but it's excessive greed. You're not going to raise the wages of the very employees that help you make those profits. And then we got folks who say, oh, it's okay for members of Congress and their family members to trade in stock. Let me shout out Senator Ossoff for introducing that legislation, baby. Yes. Now, let's call the roll on that.
Yeah.
And see who's in support of stopping that. So, John, it's a whole host of things that we must reflect on right now in this moment and use the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Reverend Bernice King reminded us, do not leave out her mother. And so I am going to be more concentrated too to make sure, and Mrs. Coretta Scott King, as she reminded us yesterday publicly in a tweet, we would not have MLK Day without Mrs. Coretta Scott King, who was a civil rights leader in her own right, John. But the bottom, can I just bottom line this? It is the man and his mission, the underscore, the mission part that these people are missing. So again, it ain't just minima, cinema, and mansion. It's other of these folks too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Harper and Tester likely on a lot of these issues. Let's turn to a slightly different form of this. Another genre of MLK Day tweet that you see every single year is the one where somebody puts something out and then sort of pretends to forget the context of who they are or who their circle was at this time. So one that we have to spotlight is from at FBI, who says, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? This MLK Day and every day, the FBI remains dedicated to service and committed to protecting our communities. They left off the end of that sentence, which would have been there back in the time of MLK, which is protecting our communities from people like him, because they were 100% opposed to him. This is a memorandum that the FBI headquarters sent out to all of their active agents that was unveiled eventually in the Church Committee report that said, as late as March 1968, FBI agents were being instructed to neutralize Dr. King because he might become a messiah who could unify and electrify the militant black nationalist movement. If he were to abandon his supposed obedience to white liberal doctrines, nonviolence, and embrace black nationalism. They wanted him wiped out, quite literally, by the way. So the idea that, like, okay, maybe that doesn't represent you anymore, FBI or whatever, you can try to make that case, but you cannot pretend that you are not part of the institutionalized opposition to him and others in this movement for decades. And so they just leave that context off, Tina.
Of course, because it doesn't fit the narrative. And you're right. Hell, if they've seen the light, which I, far be it, I don't know. You know, they got a lot they got a lot that they have to do to show as an institution, as you just laid out. This is about institutions that they have seen the light. But we know that J. Edgar Hoover had an entire file. He was out to destroy. He led his agent and also directed his agent to seek, search, and destroy black leaders of the 60s. And the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was one of those. Minister Malcolm X. A whole host of leaders were attacked by the FBI, deliberately attacked. They stoked the flames that led to his death, both him and Minister Malcolm X, the Black Panther Party, you name it, John. We could do a whole show about what the FBI as an institution of the United States government did to disrupt, to destroy, to dismantle black lives by trying to kill off or stoke the flames of killing off our leaders. Yep. And they did not want Minister Malcolm X and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. to get together, baby. That was the last thing that they wanted.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. And they can say that they're past that or whatever, but we get to learn our history, especially in the time when so many are saying, no, there's never been any like structural racism, any institutionalized race. It's never been anything like that. It was like one random guy who like didn't like Hispanic people. That's all racism ever was in America. No, it wasn't. They tried to wipe out movements.
John, they infiltrated. They infiltrated these organizations. Infiltrated. And then use propaganda to sow discord within the organizations and outside of the organizations. And for what? What were these black organizations fighting for? Liberation. That's all. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
They owe a lot, John. They do.
They do. Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to be repaid back with just a couple of tweets.
No, not at all.
No. One other individual who conveniently sort of forgets the family history here is Meghan McCain, who tweeted yesterday on the holiday. Today, we honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., one of the greatest Americans to have ever lived. And we recognize with deep gratitude the impact and the legacy he left on the world. And says, I've decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden to bear. Again, it's part of that thing. Like, no, he was only ever cool. Like, don't ever be angry and don't really be passionate and certainly be quiet. And again, she would never support like a hate filled Republican or anything. Now, of course, as you are probably expecting here, her own father doesn't have the best part in this whole thing. As a first year congressman back in 1983, John McCain voted against a holiday commemorating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said at the time that Dr. King shouldn't be memorialized because presidents were not recognized, citing cost as another reason for his dissenting vote. It's all about the money. That's what it is. Think of the deficit, everyone. He also has a history of voting against civil rights legislation like the 1990 Civil Rights Act, which sought to ban discrimination in employment at American businesses. Now, she has been asked about this previously because, again, she's one of these people that once a year acknowledges that he existed. And so she said at one point a couple of years ago, we all live with regrets and my father points to this and his stance on the Confederate flag in 2000 as two of them. We've been talking a lot about this life, his life these days. I am still intensely proud of him and his legacy. I am sad on MLK Day that this account would tweet me. Here's the thing. So yes, she has addressed it. She is making herself out to be the victim because somebody pointed out the context that her father was part of the institutionalized opposition to the movement. I feel like she is not the big victim in this. And I feel like acknowledging her father's role does not need to be a one-time thing. I don't know. Am I being unfair? She has acknowledged it. Most would not.
To me, I don't think that the sins of the father should lay on the daughter. I mean, she wasn't the one that could, she didn't vote. You know, her father did. So we should hold her accountable for what she says and what she does. Her tweet is right. Dr. King was one of the greatest, you know, human beings to walk the face of the earth. That is true. And he did say hate is too great a burden to bear. Now, let's put that in if some people may think it is hateful to stand up and fight for justice. See, so let's go on and break down what we find hateful and what is not. But I will say, I personally do not agree with overlaying the actions of her father on her. Neither should she have to apologize for her father because he did that. He was grown up, amen. Okay, those were his decisions. She can be judged for what she does in her lifetime.
Yeah, no, I think that that's fair. So let's not judge her for that. Let's judge her for how she responded to the social justice movement of just 2 years ago. How she suggests that like the protests in BLM are the same as the Capitol riot. She gives us more than enough reasons.
We got it. And you're right, John. Yes. I mean, she's not the victim here though. You know, spare me on that. She's set for the rest of her life. So no, she needs to just, it's not right, but life ain't fair, period. And where she stands is lofty. So for her to be victim, I agree with you on that. She just let it go. It may be uncomfortable and unfair, but she should just go and let that go. But you're right. Come on, we got some receipts on her that we can analyze.
And you know what? You are being so fair that although I have graphics of what Marjorie Greene was saying yesterday on the holiday, we're gonna skip it.
Oh, no, John. Don't skip it.
You wanna see it? You wanna see what she used it for? Do you think it was understanding and compassionate? Okay.
Probably gonna blow my top.
I was trying to be nice. So she said, today I believe we are seeing a new segregation and discrimination beginning, wrongfully forced upon unvaccinated Americans by the tyrants of the Democrat Party. Inspired by the courage of giants who fought for freedoms in the past, I will always tirelessly work to defend the Constitution and guaranteed freedoms for all Americans, or whichever Americans are still alive after the pandemic. I'm gonna let claim as many as possible. Our freedoms come from our almighty God and we must not let any man take them away. So she used MLK Day to say, yeah, segregation was bad. I totally don't support it coming back or anything, but we already have it. It's for the unvaccinated because of the mandates, Nina. You asked
wrong with this woman. I mean, it's just something wrong with it. What do you want me to do with this? You know how we go, John, what do you want me to do with crazy? Mm-hmm. There is something wrong with Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Yep. Yeah. And she keeps exposing herself time and time again.
Oh, yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
And I will take this as one more opportunity to say, it's not a vaccine mandate. You just have to get tested, you bozo. So they will like making, let's say there was a vaccine mandate and Dr. Fauci was running around with like a high powered dart rifle, just like going to county fairs and all that and just gunning down conservatives with his dart rifle to vaccinate them. That I would argue still does not justify the like, I'm defending the Constitution. It's the biggest thing since 1776 thing, but it's a testing mandate. All of this, her talking about a national divorce or whatever, is over the fact that they don't want to get tested once a week. Like that is what an apocalyptic event for them is sticking it up there and just swabbing it a couple times and taking it out so that you don't knowingly or unknowingly give someone a lethal disease. Madness.
John, I can't with you. I can't. No, you get the last word on this. I can't.
Thank you. Arm Fauci. That's what I say. Anyway, okay, with that, Rand Paul's gonna lose it. Okay, with that, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we've got some very dark numbers for the Democrats heading into this midterm election. Coming up soon, don't go anywhere. I forgot that we had these videos for this. Okay, let's have a little bit of fun. Let's jump into this video.
Words of the daughter-in-law of Martin Luther King Jr., Andrea Waters King. This is what she told Politico, quote, "What we have seen with President Biden is what happens when he puts the full force and power behind an issue like infrastructure. What we want to see is that same power and passion being put behind voting rights." Do you think that's fair criticism? Did President Biden put more effort into getting infrastructure passed, for example?
Well, he got infrastructure passed, and that's a good thing because success can breed success. He is putting the full force of the presidency behind it. I think the problem for the Democrats right now is not that they have bad leaders. They have bad followers.
Oh, God. To say that and to sound like you'd thought of it before you said it. So that's Paul Begala being asked about what Biden is doing, what he could be doing. They raised a few points there, Nina. What do you think about this? That the Democrats, it's not a problem of their leaders or anyone elected. It's just the followers.
Yeah, let's not hold the people with the highest titles in the land accountable. Let's not do that. Let's do the followers. I'm telling you, John, I wanted to jump out of my skin. I did tweet on that. And I said, I meant to tweet, good God, no. But I ended up tweeting, God, no. Same thing. Good God, no.
God, no.
Woo, baby.
I make that a t-shirt.
God, no. That just shows you how out of touch these elite are. Bad followers, as if people are supposed to be blindly loyal. That's the thing, John. Don't. What the King family had to say is true. All they're saying is put the same effort and emphasis on voting rights that you did on infrastructure. What's wrong with that?
Yeah.
So the problem with the Democrat, man, go on.
Yeah.
Go on, man.
By the way, I think the family was being pretty generous to him there.
They were.
They did do everything. And then Begala's like, he got infrastructure, kind of. Okay, the reconciliation bill, the true infrastructure that definitely like acknowledges a breadth of obligations from the government to its people that I think is much more in line with something that MLK might have recognized. Okay, we got the bipartisan one. Does anyone think that is significantly different than hypothetically what Trump might have passed if he'd ever taken infrastructure seriously? Maybe a little bit, a little bit of money, a couple of priorities, but much of it would have been the same.
And he had no hesitation on saying that after the host laid out what the King family was asking for. That's how out of touch. Bagala, this is for you.
Well, then you're not going to like this next part, Nina, because he wants to invoke MLK in saying that effectively, again, don't put pressure on anyone in power, in charge, any of the rich, wealthy, influential people that are in charge. It's really on you. And here is an anecdote he's going to use to make that point.
Okay, I read the most amazing essay today from Andy Young. Andy is former mayor of Atlanta, former UN ambassador, and more importantly, probably the closest confidant and aide to Dr. King. He told the story. December of 1964, Andy Young and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. go to see Lyndon Johnson to push him for a Voting Rights Act. Johnson says, I can't do it. I used all my power to get the Civil Rights Act done last year. I don't have the power to push Congress any further on voting rights. As they left the White House, Andy Young's words, he said, I asked Dr. King what he thought. He said, I think we got to go get the president some power. And so you know what they did? They organized, these are Andy Young's words, we mobilized the churches, the universities, the labor unions, the business community, a coalition of people of goodwill. In other words, those of us who want to say voting rights, we need to get to work. I do think Biden is putting everything behind this, but he needs better followers. So he needs all of us in the game as well.
Nina, when are all of these lazy people out here going to give some power to the Democrats, to Biden? When are they going to get around to doing it? Why are they so lazy?
I'm telling you, John, you want me to explode here today, don't you?
Let's see.
I'm just right now on the damage report. Nina Turner explodes. Oh my God. In a sense that movements move leaders, you know, just that little bit of point. But the condescending way by which he's invoking Dr. King is wrong. It is true that movements, and we've seen it, right? And we've seen it happen right in real time from, you know, Congresswoman Cori Bush, for example, sleeping outside and shaming them folks to come back, even though the Supreme Court messed that all up. The extension of the moratorium on student debt is another example where the movement moved leaders. So that point, okay, is well taken. It's the way that he's saying it. And I totally agree with you. Again, if we are a nation that has more sympathy and compassion for people who got the highest title, something is absolutely wrong. But another, just really quick excerpt from the Birmingham, from the letter from Birmingham jail. Bagala, you need to read this and all these other folks. Shallow understanding from people of goodwill, right, is more frustrating than absolute misunderstanding from people of ill will. Lukewarm acceptance is much more bewildering than outright rejection. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. That's my message to Paul Bagala.
Yeah, and Paul, if you get angry about what Nina just said, she's extending maybe too much good faith to say that you don't have ill will. So we will leave that up to him to respond to. But yeah, when I watched that video, my response was God, no. They gave you the House, and right, then they gave you the White House. They threw out an incumbent president during a national crisis and gave you Georgia along the way. Then they gave you the Senate. How much more power can they give you?
People are out there protesting their behinds off.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, John Bagala?
Yeah. Yeah.
Please, no, I would love to go side by side, round by round. We just need to come on the damage report. Let's have this thing out.
Bagala on the damage report. Hashtag. That's the challenge for the day.
That's it, baby.
Use your power. Oh, by the way, you might want to use it quickly because you're not going to have it for that much longer. New numbers for the Democrats going into the midterm elections are horrible. New Gallup US party identification numbers. I want to show you this chart. It's going to show over the course of, it looks like roughly a year here, we're getting a 15-point swing in party identification. By the way, that's a year in which the Republicans tried to overthrow the country. And then they spent the rest of the year trying to get you sick and die. And despite that, the Democrats were so fumbling and bumbling and accomplished so little that people would rather put back into power the ones who tried to end our system of government and kill them. And so, do you want to know how bad it is? Because that's only a year, right? I don't know, maybe this fluctuates all the time. Well, let's go back, Gallup, all the way to the beginning of the 1990s, because you have to go back that far to find the gap in this much in favor of the Republicans. Like before the Republican takeover of the House, that is what the numbers are looking like right now. And in fact, you can find that the move from the Democrats, a move away from the Democrats to the Republicans, if you bring up this Josh Jordan tweet, is found in all intensity levels. And we now have a generic ballot as well that has moved 6.5 points to the GOP in less than 1 year. An almost 6-point lead for the Democrats to a 1-point lead for the Republicans in a year where the Republicans did nothing except for the horrible things that they did. Nina, what do you think?
God, no.
God, no. So I'm assuming that you don't think that the solution will be just insulting the followers. What can the Democrats do considering all this?
Gas up the jet and cancel student debt. I mean, seriously. I mean, really, we got to give people something they can feel. If the president were to use the pen to cancel student debt right now, that would make people excited and they would go out and vote for Democrats. It's about what you do, not just what you say. How do you use the power that you have right now? Like, people's lives depend on it because they do. That's it. You know, how about, you know, I was watching an episode from Kyle Kulinski, you know, another progressive independent media person that reminded us about the second Bill of Rights that President FDR was laying out there. And an amazing job, amazing. I want to invite our viewers, if they have not watched the video from the Gravel Institute featuring Professor Harvey Kay. Again, The second Bill of Rights, second economic Bill of Rights. Just go and take that. FDR laid it out. We need to add some 21st century stuff to it, like the environment and dealing with racism and that kind of thing. But how about just passing and working hard on the stuff that you promised when you were on the campaign trail? John, there's a way that they can change this.
Yeah.
But they got to act, and they got to act quickly.
Exactly.
I would be embarrassed by the numbers you laid out. That
horrendous.
Republicans, after all that they're doing in this country to destroy it, and people are saying we want to go back to that over what we have now. Oh no, we are in trouble, Democrat.
Yep. And we're going to be told over the next year that it's our fault. We pushed him too hard to the left. That's what it is. People were just mad. They saw that. What is that? What crazy leftist legislation did he pass? Literally nothing, because he barely tried. They do not want someone who's going to come in, be given power, and do absolutely nothing. And some people are now in such a bad position that, yeah, they would rather put in the psychos because, well, we gave you a chance. You didn't do anything. You didn't, as you laid out earlier in the show, even use like the limited power that you have that's not attached to the Senate or the House, that they can't do anything to stop you from doing these things. That's you wouldn't do that, and you can't get your own party to actually accomplish anything. You can't get them to get rid of the filibuster. So it's just going to be the rest of the year. These numbers are going to get even worse. They're going to tell us that it's our fault, that the fact that these 2 years will have played out exactly as progressives worried they would and predicted that they might. We're going to be told that we're the fault of it. After we didn't get the presidency, we didn't get to have a progressive, we're still going to be blamed for it when we're desperately trying to save them. Why don't they care about themselves as much as we're more in their corner than they are themselves? They want power desperately, but briefly, because they certainly aren't willing to do anything to hold on to it.
Yeah, I mean, John, it has been the progressives that have been holding strong the president's agenda. It's been the extremist Democrats that have fought him on every turn, even though, you know, Build Back Better, all of that infrastructure, it needs to be more robust, but at least the progressives, in particular the Squad, what did they tell him, John? They said, don't do it. Don't separate infrastructure from Build Back Better. We're going to regret it. And look where we are. So they can try to blame progressives all they want. But if they look at what the American people want, they want us to cancel student debt. They want Medicare for all. They want their prescription drugs to be lowered. They don't want corporations to be able to continue to buy out politicians and take over this country. They want paid medical leave. John, that's it. So you know who the extremists are? The people who don't believe in those things. Let's just go on and turn that around and tell it what it really is. The people who are against the American people are the people who don't want minimum wage to increase, don't want universal health care, don't want to drive down the cost of pharmaceuticals. I mean, hell, John, we couldn't even get them to expand Medicare as it is right now to extend dental and hearing and vision to elders in the United States of America. So those are the extremes.
Yeah. Oh, God. Okay. We're going to keep watch on it. We're going to see what happens. Not looking good. I'm not interested in, you know, Speaker of the House Donald Trump, but apparently the Democrats aren't that worried about it. So, okay, we can only open the door. We can't force them to walk through it. Anyway, we're gonna take our second break, so don't go anywhere. Lots more to get to. I absolutely hate these earbuds. I can barely hear through it, but we're gonna do what we can. Okay, let's jump into it. Not long ago, Amazon was the workplace for a number of workers who tragically died when a tornado hit a warehouse in Illinois. Now, the families of one of those workers is suing Amazon, saying that they did not do what they could have and should have done to protect the lives of their workers. Amazon driver Austin McEwen was one of six people who died after the tornado hit back on December 10th, causing the building to partially collapse. His mother, Alice, filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Amazon, as well as the warehouse's developer, Contigra Construction, and a real estate acquirer as well. The lawsuit says that Amazon should have known a tornado was possible as early as the previous day due to weather notices, and that it kept workers inside the warehouse until moments before the tornado hit, saying that they failed to evacuate workers. And in fact, 911 calls show workers were told to take shelter in bathrooms. Alice says, "It appears that Amazon placed profits first during this holiday season instead of the safety of our son and the other five families who lost loved ones." And by the way, she is asking for right now $100,000, which seems very low for the loss of a life. It seems eminently reasonable. This is not some insane radical thing that's seeking to put Amazon out of business. This seems highly reasonable, Nina.
Yeah, very much so. And condolences to her and the other poor families. This was certainly a tragedy that did not have to happen. And so from a policy perspective, we need local and state and federal government, but we need regulations when it comes to this. And to me, the state government itself should be also filing the lawsuit on behalf of the people, because what Amazon did was to put the lives of people in danger. And then lastly, on this point, John, all of us with the appetite to get things quickly, look, Amazon is probably never going to go out of business. So what is our collective responsibility, both as individuals and also government, to make sure that we stand in solidarity with the workers there and also hold Amazon accountable? Bezos and company should be ashamed of themselves, but they are not. But John, it makes no sense for a company that is this economically successful to do its workers the way they are doing their workers right now. No sense whatsoever. And American people have to demand more, because Amazon's not going anywhere. So we're gonna have to do something to make sure that that place, it functions in a way that gives workers dignity. You've used that word a lot. And also the wages and off time that they deserve. They deserve this.
Yeah. As you say, though, they are not ashamed. In fact, they put out a message from a spokesperson in response to this saying, "We believe our team did the right thing as soon as a warning was issued, and they worked to move people to safety as quickly as possible. We will defend against this lawsuit, but our focus continues to be on supporting our employees and partners, the families who lost loved ones, the surrounding community, and all those affected by the tornadoes." And I hate
that contradictory
statement.
Yeah, that statement contradicts itself. You know, you can't be on one hand saying you're going to stand against the lawsuit and then say you're standing with the family. You can't have it both ways. Admit you were wrong. You should have closed down that facility. They're right in that lawsuit the day before. Customers will understand that they might not be able to get something in the next 2-3 hours because you are trying to preserve life. Mm-hmm. Jeez, God, no. John, that's the word of the day.
Exactly. Jeez. And related to that, by the way, they say, The truth is that this was a new building, less than 4 years old, built in compliance with all applicable building codes, and the local teams were following the weather conditions closely. Severe weather watches are common in this part of the country, and while precautions are taken, are not cause for most businesses to close down. Okay, well, I don't care about the spokesperson, but this I think should be addressed to Amazon and perhaps the US government. Maybe they should be. Maybe if a brand new building built to the regulations can be torn apart, maybe there's an issue with the regulations or with the weather. Maybe considering that we've decided that we're just gonna take the earth and boil it and spin it and make the whole thing go crazy weather-wise, maybe we should be more ready to close down businesses when extreme weather events are coming. You know, maybe the buildings in California have the proper fireproofing, but when a wildfire is racing through the state, I think you need to take the immediate context into account. So Amazon didn't do the right thing, regardless of what they say. Hopefully, at least in the future, they will. And they do not seem to be indicating any future change in policy here, Nina. And that's what worries me the most.
Because they need a consequence, John. This callous indifference. I would fire that spokesperson. But you know what? That spokesperson is a manifestation of the corporate business model of Amazon. Jesus Christ. John.
Yeah. That was a serious one. Let's lighten things up a little bit, go a little bit ridiculous to close it out. I don't want you to leave the show in a bad mood. So let's jump right into this. Heads up, it's disgusting and a little bit weird.
Pinching something and you don't see it clearly yet, but you hit. Yeah, because the vision I'm about to give you, it might get nasty. And do you hear and see the responses of the people?
I heard him. I felt it. I felt the same as those people, Nina. He is demonstrating a point there, sort of. But I would not want to be the guy that he was demonstrating it on, because not only did he rub spit in the guy's face, he apparently generates an impressive amount of spit. Because it was all over that guy. That is the Oklahoma-based mega church pastor, Michael Todd. Thoughts, Nina?
John, I thought you were gonna lighten my mood. Pastor Todd then took show and tell to a whole nother level. Let me just say that thing. No. Hell no. No, John. This done made it worse. I'm just gonna spontaneously combust right now.
That's funny, because when I was watching that video this morning, I knew what it was about, but I wanted to watch the full video. That was the sound. I was in the big room out here. I just said no. Yeah. But yes, he did do that, because receiving God's vision can be nasty, although probably not that nasty.
No.
I don't know. I haven't read like the whole Bible or anything, but like I think I'd prefer the Bible to the spit. But anyway,
only mamas get to do that to little babies. You know what I mean? Before they are conscious enough to know what mama is doing. That's it.
Even then, it's like a little spot.
Right, it's just a little dab, right? A little dab, but do you? But you understand what I'm saying, though? Only mom. That is reserved for mamas with babies who will not have a consciousness that mama did a little dab. In love.
I don't know for sure, but I don't think that's his child, that man standing next to him. No, he was like Saruman putting the white hand of spit on the guy's face and branding him. Now, he was criticized a lot.
Makes me want to gag. And especially with COVID too. Jesus, man. What you doing? You want a miracle? Oh, John, you making me nauseous. That whole thing made me nauseous.
By the way, a lot of religious leaders have died from COVID in the last couple of years. Yeah, so I would say for both of you, please be more careful.
No.
He responded to the criticism saying, "It's never my intention to distract others from God's word and the message of Jesus, even with illustrations. I apologize for my example being too extreme and disgusting. I love everybody. Hashtag represent." Okay. He apologized.
There you go, Pastor Todd. Yeah, that's all you. I mean, he apologized. That's hopefully good. The man he did it to accepts it, because that was, woo, Lord Jesus. Hey, John, God God. No. No.
I think that's what God was saying. No, not in my name. And why did the guy just take it? How loyal of a church follower is that guy?
You know, when you put somebody on the spot like that, John, it's kind of hard, you know?
That's true. You want to be a good participant. Well, you have been a great participant, Nina, as always. Thank you for bringing your fire and your passion. We really do appreciate it, as always.
Thanks, John. I appreciate you. We did that today. Love y'all, Dragon Squad.
We did. Everybody, check out Power Hour. Become a member every Thursday. Awesome show. You'll see Nina then. Thank you, Nina. Have a good one. And for those of you at home, although our linear audience we must now bid adieu to you. We do have more coming up on Twitch and on YouTube. Another half hour of awesome news, including non-consensual ivermectin, everybody. We finally found it. And lots more besides. So we're gonna take a short break. Don't go anywhere. I'm gonna look for some earbuds and we'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.